Good morning.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Good. Thank you, Brett, for reading scripture and Desiree for that beautiful music. I invite you to bow your heads with me one more time for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessing that you've already been pouring out this morning. We've been richly blessed. And Father, we just ask once again that you please continue to pour out your spirit now. We are here seeking your face, seeking your character, Father. So we ask that you please hide me behind the cross and that your love would be glorified. Fix our eyes upon you this morning, Lord, that we will be drawn to you, to your character, to your love. Please send your Holy Spirit now to speak through me. In Christ's precious name, amen. All right. Well, so this morning I decided that I was going to try to use a visual presentation. I don't usually use a screen. I usually am good without a screen, but this morning I specifically wanted to put together a presentation for you guys because there are a lot of things I want us to read this morning, and so I thought instead of me reading some things to you, it would be better if we could read them together. And I'm more of a visual person myself, and so I figure hopefully this will help us visually grasp some of the concepts and some of the messages that I felt the Lord place on my heart when I was praying about what I should share this morning. As you know, the theme is from survival to revival. And as Amber pointed out, I believe that God really wants us to go beyond just merely doing the bare minimum in our lives spiritually and actually move beyond to where God really wants us to be. Do you guys believe that? Amen. So I want you guys to write down this URL at the bottom of the screen here because this is a very important. I strongly urge each and every one of you to somehow borrow a pen if you have to or get this from your friend after the service if they wrote it down. But I strongly urge you guys to write down this URL because the presentation that I'm making quickly this morning is heavily based off of this document. It's actually, this document was published by our church denomination. We just put it on one of our websites so that you can easily access it. armyviews.org/urgentappeal.pdf. You could write that down. Basically, how many of you are aware of what happened this summer in the leadership of our church? Amen. I see quite a few hands being raised. That's exciting to see. You know, I must admit that over many years, I haven't really been that familiar with the leadership of our church or what's going on in the leadership area capacity. And so I went to the GC, though, in the summer, and Ted Wilson became our new president. And one of the things that he instantly started to implement is what's called a Revival and Reformation Committee. How many of you guys have heard about this committee so far? Okay. Not very many of you. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to make this presentation. More than myself presenting something, I simply want to share what's going on and the significance of what's happening right now because I think that it's very important for us to be aware of what is happening in the leadership of our denomination. Do you guys agree? Amen. So this document is a document that our leadership has put together. And so one of the things that they did, just so you guys can know, if you wouldn't mind moving the mouse, otherwise it's going to distract me the whole presentation. Thanks so much. one of the things basically that happened is just this last weekend, our leaders got together. Can you guys still hear me, by the way? Okay, just making sure. Our leaders, they got together at a biannual business meeting, and they began to look at the history, look at what's been going on in the church, and start to make plans for the next upcoming years. And as they did this, they came to some startling conclusions. One of the conclusions that they came to, it seems to me at least, is that as a denomination, we've kind of been falling asleep. Now, this is hard for us to kind of wrestle with because it kind of pricks our pride a little bit. We're like, what? No, look at all the good things God has been doing, all the amazing things that have been going on. But as a denomination, we have kind of been slowing down a little bit. And I want to expound on that really quickly. I don't have much time, but so I'm going to kind of fly through this. So just bear with me and try to read quickly. Here, the Adventist News Network talks about analysis included a sobering look at a shift from a proactive to a reactive approach in missionary allocation. More missionaries are now serving in established institutions instead of frontline mission work. And so you can see even in the missionary works, things are starting to take more of a reactive instead of a proactive approach. This might remind you of some things that we heard last week from the presentation by Joe Garza about Adventizing. How many of you guys were here last week? Okay, good number of you. The question here is, have we been going from revival to survival, or are we headed from survival to revival? Because the heart's natural tendency is to head towards laziness, to leave Christ, right? And so this is a challenge that we face as individuals and even as a church. Many have lost a sense of mission and purpose in the church, which leads me to ask the question, what good is Adventism without a clear focus and mission on the second advent of Christ? Do you guys believe that's important, to have a mission on the advent of Christ? I believe so as well. Steps to Christ says, if the followers of Christ were awake to duty, which that implies what? That perhaps we're not awake. If the followers of Christ were awake to duty, there would be thousands where there is one today proclaiming the gospel in heathen lands. And all who could not personally engage in the work would yet sustain it with their means, their sympathy, and their prayers. Also, another quote here from Testimonies, Volume 5 says, what if half the soldiers in an army were idling or asleep when ordered to be on duty? The result would be defeat, captivity, or death. A sleeping army of Christian soldiers, what could be more terrible? What advance could be made against the world who are under the control of the Prince of Darkness? Those who stand back indifferently in the day of battle, as though they had no interest and felt no responsibility as to the issue of the contest, might better change their course or leave the ranks at once. The first point of my message this morning is that we are falling asleep. The Great Controversy, page 457, this kind of resonates with some things that Amber shared with you, says that the history of ancient Israel is a striking illustration of the past experience of the Adventist body. God led his people in the Advent movement, even as he led the children of Israel from Egypt. So here in the Great Controversy, Ellen White is actually comparing the Advent movement with the Israelites. She continues on that same page and says, it was not the will of God. What was it? It was not God's will that Israel should wander 40 years in the wilderness. He desired to lead them directly to the land of Canaan and establish them there, a holy, happy people. But they could not enter in because of unbelief. Because of their backsliding and apostasy, they perished in the desert, and others were raised up to enter the promised land. She continues and says, in like manner, this is very important, this is where the significance for us comes in. In like manner, it was not the will of God that the coming of Christ should be so long delayed, and his people should remain so many years in this world of sin and sorrow. But unbelief separated them from God. As they refused to do the work which he had appointed them, others were raised to proclaim the message. Friends, a very sobering fact, a very unpopular fact that I want to present this morning, is that we're faced with a choice in our denomination right now, in the world. In Christianity, we're faced with a choice to embrace this work that God has for us to do, or to force God to raise up others to proclaim this message. In the Bible, as the children were wandering through the wilderness, in Psalms, it talks about how they limited God. They limited his ability because of the hardness of their heart. And I fear that the same thing is happening in our denomination today. This is actually led, I believe, that these quotes and several others, as many things that our church leaders right now are looking at, has led them to a conclusion. This document, I want you to know, remember, this is something that's been happening just last weekend. This is extremely recent, freshly happening here. On October 11, just like 5 days ago, a document was voted on from the leadership of our church, the president of our denomination, and many others from around the world that voted on this document called God's Promise Gift. And it's referring to the Holy Spirit. And listen to some of the conclusions that they're coming to. This might resonate with some of the things that we heard last week. The church's growth rate is simply not keeping pace with the world's burgeoning population. An honest evaluation of our current evangelistic impact on the world leads to the conclusion that unless there is a dramatic change, we will not complete heaven's assignment in this generation. In spite of our best efforts, all our plans, strategies, and resources are incapable of finishing God's mission for his glory on earth. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? Definitely, especially to hear this from the leaders of our own church, recognizing that something doesn't add up as they look at the statistics. And what did they say here, unless what happens? Unless a dramatic change takes place. This reminds me of hearing this coming from the leadership of our church, reminds me of a Bible verse, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, that says, of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times, To know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200 and all their brethren were at their command. You see, today, friends, I believe that God wants us as his people to have an understanding of the times that we are living in so that we can know what we ought to do. Amen? My question this morning is, as Adventists in the 21st century faced with this dilemma, the gospel commission versus the population of the world, what ought we to do? Which leads me to the second point in my message, which is, it's time to wake up. Do you guys believe it's time to wake up this morning? Amen. The first point of the message was that we are falling asleep, but the good news at this point is that it's time to wake up. And this is where the message gets exciting. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 13 says, "And do this, knowing the time, that it, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness." Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. And then 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8. This is one of my favorite passages, verses in the entire Bible. It's very short and simple too. Another reason I like it. It says, "For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle?" You see, friends, for years, I believe that God has been trying to come back to this planet. In 1888, Christ almost returned. There was at least one more other time that Christ could have come back to this planet. In fact, Spirit of Prophecy tells us that Christ waits with longing desire to perfectly reproduce his character in his people. Christ longs to come back. But I believe that we are faced with this dilemma. And that's why this verse is important, because, you see, if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? But I'm excited because I believe that right now, this is blowing me away what's happening with our church leadership right now, because it makes me excited because I believe that finally the trumpet has a certain sound. Finally, the trumpet is being sounded with a very particular sound, and it is calling each and every one of us to prepare for battle. Of course, we're talking about a spiritual battle. Review and Herald says that a revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and the most urgent of all our needs. To seek this should be our first work. A revival of true godliness. The message this morning is about from survival to revival. Talking about revival, it means a resurrection. Review and Herald says, "A revival signifies a renewal of spiritual life, a quickening of the powers of mind and heart, a resurrection from the spiritual death." It makes me think of what Amber was sharing about these dry bones, and when the breath was breathed upon them, how that played a part in them coming to life. And if you look in Genesis, where the creation account was recorded, when God breathed the breath of life into Adam, it is then that he became a living being. And I believe in the same way today in our church, God is eagerly waiting to breathe his Holy Spirit in a new way on us, to give us new life, to give us a revival of that primitive godliness. I want it in my life so bad. The scripture reading this morning was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Which leads me to the third and final point of today's message, and that is that revival begins in the heart. Where does revival begin? In the heart. I want to talk quickly about the message of Laodicea. I'm kind of packing a lot in here, but hopefully you guys can pick up everything I'm laying down. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the message to Laodicea. And it's very fitting for us because, remember, the first point was that we're falling asleep, right? And have you ever been asleep and then, woken up only to find out that you're in another dream? Have you only like been in one dream and then like you come out of that dream and then you're just in another dream? And then like you might wake up again and then wonder if you're in real life or if it's another dream. Am I the only one that's happened to you? Okay, maybe I'm just weird, but but I almost feel like that's kind of what we're going through as a denomination. It's like, and that's what the Laodicean message is about. It's like we are lukewarm, but we don't even realize that we're lukewarm. Could we be asleep and not even know it? It's a scary thought, isn't it? But the exciting part about the message to Laodicea is what I really want to focus for the last on the last few minutes that I have with you this morning. And that is in verse 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, we are told of our true condition, but the hope lies here in verse 20. Christ says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." The good news is that Christ is knocking on the door of our hearts. And before the denomination, before us as Christians, before we can experience a united revival of primitive godliness as a group, I believe that God wants us to experience it as individuals. And so that's why revival begins in the heart, and Christ is knocking on each of our hearts this morning, asking for us to let him in. Testimonies for the Church says, "At this time, a time of overwhelming iniquity, a new life coming from the source of all life is to take possession of those who have the love of God in their hearts." A new life coming from the source of all life. Desire of Ages says, "We cannot discern the character of God or accept Christ by faith unless we consent to the bringing into captivity of every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every thought. Then check out what this next sentence says. It says, "To all who do this, the Holy Spirit is given without measure." It's crazy to think about what this is implying. And so we can begin to see in these quotes how revival, it begins in the heart. And you can see how even God wants our minds to be brought into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. But even more than this, what is Christ longing to do? "To all who do this, the Holy Spirit is given without measure." Do you believe that Christ wants to pour out his Spirit today? I believe that he does. You see, revival is something that we cannot create. And the leaders of our denomination realize this right now. They realize that they have a burning desire to see revival take place in our church. But they realize it's not something that they can just create. You know, our plans, our methods, our projects, it's not going to create revival. So what will create revival? It is only as we allow God to impact our hearts that revival begins. It's only as we allow God to breathe a new life into us as we spend time with him every day. There's several quotes I want to share with you now that it gives you guys an idea of what Ellen White saw would take place in our lifetime. I firmly believe in our lifetime. She says here in the General Conference Bulletin, "I have been deeply impressed by the scenes that have recently passed before me in the night season. There seems to be a great movement, a work of revival, a work of revival going forward in many places. Our people were moving into line, responding to God's call. God calls upon those who are willing to be controlled by the Holy Spirit to lead out in a work of thorough reformation. I see a crisis before us, and the Lord calls for his laborers to come into line. Every soul should now stand in a position of deeper, truer consecration to God than during the years that have passed. Do not the scriptures call for a more pure and holy work than we have yet seen?" Testimonies for the Church, continuing, says, "In visions of the night, representations pass before me of a great reformatory movement among God's people. Many were praising God, the sick were healed, and other miracles were wrought. Hundreds and thousands were seen visiting families and opening before them the Word of God. Hearts were convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, and a spirit of genuine conversion was manifest. On every side, doors were thrown open to the proclamation of truth. The world seemed to be lightened with the heavenly influence. Great blessings were received by the true and humble people of God." The Great Controversy continues and says, "The great work of the gospel." Now check this out. This is kind of like the bottom line. The great work of the gospel is not to close with less manifestation of the power of God than marked its opening. Servants of God, with their faces lighted up and shining with holy consecration, will hasten from place to place to proclaim the message from heaven. By thousands of voices all over the earth, the warning will be given. Miracles will be wrought, the sick will be healed, and signs and wonders will follow the believers. Sounds almost too good to be true, doesn't it? But I believe that God wants to do it in his people today. And where does it all start? It starts with us. It starts in the heart. And that's where you can see the 3 points as reviewing of the message this morning are very simple. 1, we've been falling asleep. 2, it's time to wake up. And 3, revival begins in the heart. As we close this morning, I just want to give an appeal. I was thinking about the appeal that I wanted to give, and I realized that our leadership has already given the appeal that I wanted to give for me. So what I want to do now is read an appeal to us from the leadership. This is actually in the document that I gave you the URL to at the beginning. I'm reading from this document now. From the leadership of our denomination. It says, therefore, as representatives of the world church and on behalf of our entire membership, we commit ourselves. They're saying this just 5 days ago. They're saying this. We commit ourselves. 1, to personally place priority on seeking God for spiritual revival and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in latter rain power in our own lives, our families, and our ministries. Isn't it exciting to see leaders of our church that are seeking for priority on spiritual revival? So the first appeal that I want to make this morning is to join our leaders in making this commitment to personally place priority on seeking God for spiritual revival and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and latter rain power. If that's your desire, if you guys want to place, if any of you want to place that priority on seeking God, seeking revival in your own life in a practical way, then I just want to invite you to raise your hand. Amen. That's exciting to see. The second appeal is, again, reading from the document. The second appeal is to individually set aside significant amounts of time daily to fellowship with Christ through prayer and the study of God's word. Do you guys want to make that commitment as well? Amen. It's exciting. Number 3, there's like about 4 or 5 appeals. The third appeal is to examine our own hearts and to ask the Holy Spirit to convict us of anything that may keep us from revealing the character of Jesus. We desire willing hearts so that nothing in our lives hinders the fullness of the Holy Spirit's power. I want to invite you guys. I've been challenged myself as I've read this to look in my own heart, to look at my life and ask myself, is there anything that is preventing the Holy Spirit from being poured out in my life? If there's anything, we need to surrender that to the Holy Spirit. We need to surrender that to the Lord so he can be enabled to work in our lives. The fourth appeal is to urgently appeal. They're committing to urgently appeal to invite our entire church membership to join us in opening our hearts to the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit, which will transform our lives, our families, our organizations, and our communities. How many of you guys want to open your hearts to the Holy Spirit's power? Amen. Finally, I want to close with this. This is, again, our leadership speaking to us. This says, we appeal to each church member to unite with church leaders and millions of other Seventh-day Adventists seeking a deeper relationship with Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at 7 o'clock each morning or evening, 7 days a week. This is an urgent call to circle the globe with earnest intercession. This is a call to total commitment to Jesus and to experience the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit that our Lord is longing to give now. How many of you guys want to respond to this call? Amen. I know we've run out of time, but I just want to say that, once again, I am so excited as I see what's going on right now in our church. What we're seeing happen with the leadership of our denomination is historic. We are seeing history in the making. Even better yet, we're seeing history in the closing, you guys. We're going home. I'm so excited, and I believe that God he wants us to wake up so that we can be a part of this closing work on this planet. You see, I don't know what more it's going to take for Christ to make it clear to us. You see, as we read in Revelation, he said he's knocking on the door of our hearts. He's pleading for us to let him in so that we can experience the Holy Spirit's power in our lives. Now even the president of our own denomination, of our church, the leaders at the highest level of our church are pleading with each and every one of us for revival, to open our hearts for the Holy Spirit to be poured out in latter rain power. So if that's your guys' desire, I just want to invite you to stand. I just want to seal that commitment, and then I believe we're going to sing and have a prayer.
No, actually. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for not giving up on us. We thank you so much that you love us, so much that you sent Christ to die on the cross for us. And Lord, we know that right now you just are wanting a complete commitment of our lives to you. So Father, we just want to at this time ask that you forgive us for the ways that we have failed you. Forgive us for the ways that we perhaps aren't spending our time where we need to be spending our time. Perhaps not setting the priorities that we need to set for the times that we're living in. Father, please forgive us for the ways that we get so caught up in the busyness of life, the busyness of what's happening all around us, whether it's our jobs, or whether it's school, or whether it's even family. We ask, Lord, that you help us to not lose sight of the truths that started and founded this church. Help us not to lose sight of the fact that indeed we are Adventists. We're Adventists because we believe not only in the second coming of Christ, but we believe in the soon coming of Christ. Amen. Father, as Danny mentioned earlier, we don't want to just be called Christians. We want to be living Christians. So at this time, Lord, we just want to seal the commitments that have been made this morning. The commitments to open our hearts for revival. Open our hearts for you to breathe your Holy Spirit to the very depths of our being. To reach the areas where we need healing, perhaps. To reach the areas where we need to refocus. Father, we want to invite your Holy Spirit in our lives. And we want to commit to pleading for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. I pray that the messages we've heard this morning will not just go in one ear and out the other. As we leave, as we go about the rest of today's activities and throughout this next week, I pray that we'll not easily forget about what we've heard here. But I pray that you will help us to fix our eyes, our minds, our hearts on you, on your Son, and how you want to work in our lives. Amen. Father, we want to pray for the leaders of our church and uphold them. Please continue to speak through them. And we just ask, Lord, that you please transform our lives. As we behold your love, may we be transformed into the express image of Christ. We thank you so much for answering this prayer. And we just once again ask that you seal our commitments. We know that all of heaven is rejoicing with the decisions that we are making today. So we thank you so much for answering this prayer in Christ's precious name. Amen.